At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Well, usually Chris and I are fighting in the break, and so you don't get much communication from me when you're at the stadium. But now I'm giving you too much communication.
Yeah, I'm so confused on what's happening right now.
I was like, honestly, I need to read something, Tony, but I don't. It's in my email. I don't have it on the paper. So maybe and you're like, what? And then I tried to explain again, explained it horribly again. So I said, yeah. Forget what
you're
I said.
You're over like five in trying to explain whatever it is. So the read is in your email.
Yeah, and I didn't put it on the sheet, so you can't
read
it.
I really can't help you then, because it's in the email and it's not on the sheet.
So tune in to the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. on Ben & Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Tony, you got some big news.
I mean, I don't know if I have
for your family, for yourself.
I don't know that it's really concerned my family yet.
All right, over 7 on trying to set up things for today.
Grand Canyon is making an immediate move from the WAC to the Mountain West. And that that's only relevant for us folks out here in San Diego for another year. Because 2026, obviously, the Pac-12 will be the new home for the Aztecs. But at least for the time being, in 2025... That does make the basketball conference even more interesting. Grand Canyon, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're good.
Aztecs went down there and lost.
Yep.
So now this is another divisional foe for the time being. Now, again, the Aztecs will move out of the Mountain West in 26, so this will only be assuming for the year. But basketball got a little tougher. I mean, this conference was already pretty good.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon is a team that they were in the NCAA tournament last year.
Yep. The Antelopes.
That's right. The Lopes.
The
Lopes up, as they like to say.
Lopes up. Oh, no.
I don't know if that's the finger sign, but I just, it felt
what
right.
What are we doing, the TCU Frog thing again?
That might be
does.
The TCU Frog, and no offense to my man, Bray, that might be the weakest of the finger signs.
Yeah. Oh, pfft. Why do you think I make fun of it all the
time? You got horns up. I don't know what A&M is.
Something to do with digging, because it's agricultural.
is that what you came up with?
Yeah, I had a friend that went to Texas A&M.
But nonetheless, yes, that is kind of the Mountain West news for today. All right, Scraby has a Daily Gambit. Some bets that we made that, at least as it pertained to you, Darvish, did not go well.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And if you listened to the Yu Darvish bets yesterday, you would know why gambling responsibly would be the right thing to do, because this would have not been responsible.
This is the
gambling.
Opposite of that.
Yes. And real quick, in the next segment, Tony is going to be heading down for Mike Schilt, so I'm going to talk about Savannah Bananas and the Banana Ball. The tickets have been drawn. This has been one of the biggest things in my inbox in the last couple weeks about, Scraby, can you give me some Banana Ball tickets? Like, what? I can't get you Banana
Ball. You got access to Banana Ball tickets?
No, that's the thing, is I don't have access to Banana Ball tickets.
Hey, they must think we big time. We get tickets to that.
Yeah, I know. If we're giving those away on the show, I might have to, like, fend people off. This is the biggest ticket in town, other than the Padres.
It's such an interesting thing for me, right? I mean, it's the Bananas seems like it's doing so well and is probably can only do this well in the they found like their niche, right? They can tour the state. They don't need to. It's not an everyday baseball type deal, but it certainly is having a ton of success, and people enjoy it.
People really, really enjoy it. So I'll talk about that in the next segment. I also love when we do the Daily Gambit, and Kenny G is doing the Star Spangled Banner on the field.
I don't know if this gentleman is Kenny G. I'm pretty sure. Matter of fact, I know it's not Kenny G. But nonetheless, you know, he's getting his pipes ready.
I'm a huge fan of Kenny G because he's a great golfer too. Kenny G is a
golfer with all that hair?
He's a really good golfer.
I did not know that.
He used to be one of
those guys. Does he put his hair in a ponytail or something?
Yeah, in the ponytail, yeah.
I was about to say, that would be a lot
maybe
of...
Maybe a man bun.
Man bun works, too.
He used to do the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am all the time, and he was one of those guys who people were like, okay, we could bet on him to win the amateur side because...
of course, that's what people were doing.
Because it's Kenny G.
Oh, yeah, Kenny G, we can bet on him.
Him and Al Del Greco, both always the ones that are being bet on for that stuff. All right, bets we made last night. We had a bet on Yu Darvish. How many strikeouts would he have? There was four different choices. 3+, 4+, 5+, or 6+. Tony went 5+ for plus 145. I went 6+ for plus 340. But Tony, you got it. Didn't he have five strikeouts last night?
He did.
So you win the bet.
Right on the dot, baby.
And you win some money because you got plus 145 on this. So if you were to put down 100... You would get
By the way, he got 5 3⅔ of work, too, by the way.
Well, he had 2 in the first inning. I'm like, 6 is no-brainer. He's going to hit 6 in no time. Adam and I were texting last night and just kind of confirming to each other how cruel gambling can be.
Yes.
Because Yu Darvish was like, going to pay off on my bet, but then he didn't after going 3 2/3 because Junior Valentine had to do what he had to do. Next, Zach Gallen versus Yu Darvish. Most strikeouts thrown. We both said Darvish. That was wrong.
Dead wrong.
Zach Gallen had 9 strikeouts last night, so he wins that one. Luis Arraez versus Ketel Marte, who had the most hits in the game. This is a non-bet because Ketel Marte was scratched before the game. Luis Arraez, though, still hitting. He is making his way back to that 300 mark, and I doubt we see him go under once he gets above.
Bold claim there, sir.
I doubt he gets below 290 once he gets above 300. Okay,
revision.
All right, final bet was the Phillies at the Giants last night. The Phillies were -1.5 on the run line. We both picked Phils, and the Giants ended up beating Christopher Sanchez 3-1. Christopher Sanchez in the Phils 3-1. Now there were some very questionable umpiring calls and ball strike calls in that game. Like, extremely questionable.
Yeah. Well, my guy, wait, no, this is from Sunday. Let me see if I got, see if I can pull theirs up. Who was this, Philly and,
Giants. Oh, you're going to the umpire scorecard?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to think this is one of the worst.
Oh! Well, it's actually one of the favorite umpires, but he struggles from time to time.
Phil Cuzzy. What did he get?
Let's see. Overall accuracy, 91%.
That's not good.
No. Called strike accuracy is where it was.
Rough.
85%. The average is 88%. Called ball accuracy 94%. The average is 97%. So he was below the standard. A running almost a run and a half for the Giants in this ball game.
Well, they won by 2,
which is why you saw some of the chirping coming out of the Phillies dugout, because that basically means the calls were almost a run and a half in favor of the Giants.
And guess what? They won 3-1. So this is Phil Cuzzy's fault. John Tom.
See, we
Payne
need to stop. We
ripper.
Need to stop making it so simple for the folks that don't follow, because that's exactly what they're going to do. Oh, this is all Phil Cuzzy's fault, right here.
Okay, it's not Phil Cuzzy's fault, but if there's a clip on Twitter of the Phillies announcers just left dumbfounded by some of these.
Was it? Do we know if it was TV or radio?
It was TV.
Yeah. So it was T-Mac, and
he was just like, "What is happening?" Like. That is a strike. And it goes against the Phillies almost every single time. And yeah. So, anyway.
Hang with them.
All right, today's bets. We have Nick Pivetta and Merrill Kelly. Who has more strikeouts in this one? Tony.
Pivetta.
Pivetta, I agree. Pivetta has to have more strikeouts. Merrill Kelly, not a strikeout guy. Now, here is what we're going to do for this one. Do you think, or who do you think has more hits, Fernando Tatis Jr. or Corbin Carroll in tonight's game?
Oof.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go Corbin.
Corbin? I'm going to go with Fernando. I feel like his all-star selection really did wonders for him. I don't know why, but...
I hope you're right.
Dodgers and the Brewers. By the way, the Dodgers got crushed by the Brew Crew last night, 9-1.
The four straight.
The Dodgers have lost four straight, and they barely have lost any ground in the standings. That's how good they've been as of late. Over under 8.5 total runs in this game, Tony.
Who's pitching?
Oh, good, you know, question. What? Clayton Kershaw and Jacob Mizorowski.
Oh, under.
Under. All right. I'm going to go...
I swear, just as I said, I look up at the TV and MLB Network is talking about Clayton Kershaw and Mizorowski.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. All right. SDFC on Saturday, Tony, against the Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire to win, plus 140. A draw, plus 255. FC to win, plus 150. We haven't bet on the FC yet.
Give me the SDFC.
All right, SDFC, you got it. You got it. I'm going to go with a draw, though.
Of course you are.
Even though they haven't really tied many times this year. So, final one, Tony, is the Mountain West Conference Championship game winner for football in 2025. The Aztecs. Plus 5,000 near the bottom of the list. Boise State, number one, then UNLV, then San Jose State. Would you make a bet on the Aztecs to win the Mountain West Conference Championship at plus 5,000?
So I put 100 down, I get 5,000?
Correct.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I would too. Well, I mean, we're not really keeping track of this bet, but I wanted to see the...
I'm going
to
be keeping track. If they pull it off, I'm going to want you to pay me.
I know, football season for them is coming up real quick. We're going to have games soon, and we're going to have an NFL news and notes later on in this hour. But that is it for the Daily Gambit. As everybody can see, Chris usually does the bets, and he takes it really serious. So he always has, like, great bets. I just have the most random bets of all time when I pick them. But Chris will be back on Monday, everybody. That's it for the Daily Gambit.
All right. I'm going to step aside, hand this off to Mr. Scraby, and I'll be back to join you guys a little bit later, talk a little Big Five. We'll get into that NFL news and notes, all that a little bit later on, but take a break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
After traffic will be later. Should have given you the signal. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby with you. Tony will be back. Next segment for NFL news and notes, which will include a very upset wide receiver who may hold out of training camp if they can't get a contract in time. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Kirk Cousins' comments on Michael Penix Jr. and also the early list of head coaches on the hot seat. We'll talk about all of that here in the next segment. But before we get into Savannah Bananas and everything that happened today with that, we need to talk about the big news. I guess it's not huge news, but it's definitely news. And the lineup has been changed for the Padres today for just a little bit. Jackson Merrill is now batting in the fifth spot instead of the second spot. So it goes Tatis, Arraez, Machado, Sheets in the cleanup spot, Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Brooks, and Diaz. So they're trying something new, and they moved him down, and I think that's a good idea. I guess it can only be a positive, right? I mean, if he starts to hit again, then you got someone in the middle of the order that's able to hit and able to drive guys in. So it can only be a positive, I think. There's no negative to dropping him down to fifth, because you're not losing anything right now when he's in the second, or from going from second to fifth, because he's struggling. He's in a rut, as Tony said. There's no such thing as a slump for players. I have to remember that before I go into a locker room and ask them about their slump. He's in a rut right now, so they're trying to get him going. And we talked about Victor Rodriguez a little bit earlier, and him telling, basically reminding Jackson Merrill of the things that he's done well. And so he can stay in that mindset when he's taking his at-bats, and he can, you know, do the things that he did last year in the early part of this year. But as we were talking about the at-bats earlier in the show with Tony, I hate to say it, and I don't want to say it, but he seems like he's a little bit lost right now. Pitchers are kind of toying with Jackson Merrill now, and he's swinging at a lot of pitches outside of the zone, which is not something that Jackson Merrill did. So sometimes moving down the order could help. Sometimes just taking the pressure off of yourself could help. But we'll see what happens with Jackson Merrill moving to the fifth spot in the order. And we'll talk about that more as the show goes along. We'll also talk more about the left field position. I have some more thoughts on left field and whether or not the Padres should be focusing on getting a left fielder now that Gavin Sheets plays a decent left field. We'll talk about that as we go forward as well. But Savannah Banana Nation is very excited for this Savannah Bananas team to come to Petco Park on September 5th and 6th. And today I saw a lot of social media posts with pictures of emails that were two people saying, congratulations, you got your banana tickets. And I saw a lot of that. And I have been told by some of my friends that they got banana tickets. Can you call them the Bananas? I guess you can. But I have gone through many feelings about the Savannah Bananas. Number one, I don't blame anyone who enjoys it. Please don't get it twisted. I'm not saying don't go to the Savannah Bananas game, because that's not how I feel. If you like the Savannah Bananas, that's fine. It might not be for me. And maybe if I do go, which I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not, but maybe if I do go, I will end up liking the Savannah Bananas. I personally, again, I'm talking for myself, I'm not a fan of I don't want to make this insulting, of novelty sports. And that's kind of a loose word and definition for the Savannah Bananas. Because like if you're not familiar, the Savannah Bananas, they have a different style of baseball. Like, you know, the umpire I saw twerking one time. If you hit a foul ball and you catch it in the stands, the player's out. They usually end up bringing some local celebrity to play for the Bananas whenever they're in a city. Like, I know that Eric Hosmer played for the Bananas when they were in the KC area. So I know that this is a big deal. And it's not just a big deal. It is a huge deal because these guys sell out every single place that they play, every time. It's not even a question as to whether or not they're going to sell out. People are constantly looking for secondhand tickets because the drawing always gives away the tickets to everybody, and they take them, and they don't deny them because they want to go to these Savannah Banana games. I'm just not the guy for it. Now, maybe do you think that's me being is that me just being a closed-minded person? Is that me just being an old man? I don't know. But Katrina says, Vincent the Dancing Up Ump, he's awesome. He gave me lots of hugs. Yeah, this isn't for me. It's not for me. But it is for everybody else, and I know it's a big deal, and it's at Petco Park on September 5th and 6th. So I'm not going to play down the fact that people are very excited for this. But I want to know how many people have tickets in hand and are going to go, or how many people are going to sell these for extra money. Because I was reading on Reddit the other day that some of the banana tickets go for like $200. I think you can get tickets for like $60 or $80 if you opted into the Savannah Banana ticket email or whatever it's called, I guess. But I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. If the chat has anything for me as to why I should go, then you need to let me know. because, or why I shouldn't think that this is not for me. SD Mike, definitely being a sour grandpa, I'd have to actually see it in person to form a solid opinion. Okay. All right. Seeing it in person would help a little bit. And there was someone on the chat a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this, and they said that they were very skeptical of going to the Savannah Bananas game, but they went with their son, and they ended up having a really, really good time. So I maybe that would be me. Now, if I had a kid, and I don't have a kid, or any kids, I mean, if I don't have a kid, then I don't have kids. But if I did have a kid to take, maybe I would go and do it that way. And then maybe I would like it. Maybe I would see the joy on my kid's face and see how much they're enjoying things, and so I would be happy for them. But as the sour grandpa that I am, according to SD Mike, which I do think that I'm being a little bit of a sour grandpa here, but I just don't get it. Like, what is the draw? The entertainment on the field is the draw. The baseball on the field is the draw. What is the draw? Because I guess they lose games as well as win games, so they're not like the Harlem Globetrotters where you win every single game and you're constantly defeating the Washington Generals. But I don't understand, like, what's the point of having a winner? There's no league for the Savannah Bananas. I have many questions about this, and maybe questions that don't really matter all that much in the scheme of things, because the Savannah Bananas are making a ton of money. And it seems like the players on their team really love being there as well. I'm thinking that playing baseball in front of 50, 60,000 fans is a great time for them. But to me, I need a reason to go. I can't just, it's weird for me to watch a game that means nothing. And I guess I have to wrap my head around that idea that it means nothing. And that it's just for the entertainment purposes. And I see some people in the chat saying that it's not, that's dumb, don't waste your money. I'm not saying that, because I don't want to be the guy who's like, hey, this is stupid, you shouldn't waste your money on it because I said so. That's not what I'm going to do. You could definitely go and enjoy the bananas. I'm not going to think less of you for going to enjoy the bananas. But I have I have really been thinking about this, and I have been offered tickets by some people, and I just don't know if I want to take a ticket if I'm not going to enjoy the bananas. Yes, Rod, you can catch and out the counts. That's the weird thing to me. Jose, curious to see who they bring out for their special guest. May see some Hell's Bells or Will Myers. Okay. All right. I'm good with that. That would be cool if all of a sudden you're sitting there and Hell's Bells starts playing and Trevor Hoffman comes out. I think that would definitely get Petco Park going. I wouldn't hate to see that. Padres diehard. I can't stand the bananas and their prices are ridiculous, but it is more for children than middle-aged men. All right. I think I can get behind that. If I know what it's for, if, like, at first I thought the bananas were a team that was trying to, like, compete in a real world setting, but then I learned that they weren't, so it kind of turned me off to it, because it's like it's just exhibition baseball with a bunch of players I know nothing about. But maybe I do need to look a little bit more. I should do it for the show. Maybe I should go for the show and report back and see if I am a full banana. I was going to say something I shouldn't have said. If I'm a full banana fan by the time that they are out of town. But they are coming September 5th and 6th, and I know that I saw all those emails about you have won tickets or you have been drawn to purchase tickets. So people are very excited, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I promise. I promise I won't take that away from you. September 5th and 6th, though. I think I need to clear those dates from my schedule, from my calendar. Man, oh man. Did I ruffle feathers with this whole Savannah Bananas thing? I got a bad take on the chat. How is it a bad take? I said, it's not for me, But if you like it, go and have fun. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's a bad date, people. I mean, why would I if you want me to be real and say exactly what I'm thinking about the bananas, why would I want to go watch fake baseball? So I don't want to offend people because everybody's allowed to enjoy what they want to enjoy. And it's kind of funny when people think that it was a bad take because I don't like them. Okay, the Savannah bananas are popular. I said that like five times. Savannah bananas are very popular. Lots of people like them. Not for me. It's okay. It's okay. Just because I don't like them doesn't mean that I am a monster, which I feel like people are. Thinking I'm a monster out there. The chat is getting weird today, I gotta say. Chat is being real, real weird today. There are a lot of experts on everything in the chat today. I always say I'm not an expert on everything because I want people to know that I don't think I'm an expert on everything. It's always funny, too, when the people in the chat have burner accounts and they just criticize the entire time. Like, don't you have something better to do with your life other than sit on a YouTube chat behind a fake name and a fake account commenting mean things? You probably don't have anything better to do with your life. Yes. I don't like being mean like this, but when people come at me and tell me I'm an idiot and like all this other stuff, then I get a little defensive. I get a little defensive and I want to strike back. Because it's hard for me not to. It's hard for me not to say anything, but I've been doing a little bit better with that. It's just like, come on, people. People are allowed to have opinions. I let you all have your opinions. Even the people that are like, let's trade Manny. Let's DFA Bogarts. We even read that stuff. I don't call you an idiot, even though I should. All right, I should stop while I'm ahead. All right, we have coming up here, we're going to have NFL news and notes, some of the things that are happening around football right now. Also, at 4 p.m., we're going to try a new game. I'm going to keep trying new games because nothing works for Chris versus the fans unless Chris is here. So that is a big deal that Chris is not here. So stick around for that. But first, traffic, then NFL talk. We are almost there, Tony Gwynn Jr. I don't know why I said your full name, but we're almost to football season. And more football stories are coming out. And I am so excited about this season. I don't know.
I'm not there yet. I'm not quite. Probably because I'm doing these.
Well,
games.
Yeah. I mean, you're locked into a playoff race right now, so.
Right. So I'm not quite like dialed into ready for football yet.
I get it.
But
I get it.
Come. You know, we start getting into the August month. I usually when I start to get an itch. I did have an email pop up on my email today
ESPN.
About reactivating the fantasy season here. So
that tells you something.
Yeah, we're getting close to that time.
Do you, have you gotten a text message from one of the members of our league about a draft possibility?
No, I have not.
Ah,
okay. Are there rumors circulating?
Yeah, there's been a text message that I've been sent by Will Galvez about a million times asking if it would be cool if we did an in-person draft, and he has pinpointed a day where you guys are in town, there is no Padres baseball.
Oh, so I'm just giving up one of my off days. Is that what that sounds like?
This is why he doesn't want to text you. This is why he wants to put it on me. And I said, it's better coming from you, Will. I ask Tony to do stuff all the time. It doesn't go well coming from me. It goes well coming from you. And so I'm a little upset.
First of all, that's not true. It would come way better coming from you than coming from Will.
Oh,
that
okay.
being said, he has to send me the dates, and then I can kind of.
And then you can.
There's a whole other negotiations that this has to go on with my wife. So it's just like
your wife can be there.
I'm sure she could be there if she wanted to. That's hilarious.
Yes, it is hilarious. Most of us are in town, so that's why. I'm gonna tell Will
I would listen to this segment. I would be open to it.
Okay.
I would be open to it. We'll see how my other half feels.
I always forget about that other half. All right, let's get into the news because there is some unhappy players out there, but let's start with our first unhappy player, a reportedly unhappy player, wide receiver for the Commanders, Terry McLaurin. Now, he says that there's a huge gap, he doesn't say that, but reports are there's quite a gap between both sides, between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin. He's going to make $15.5 million base salary this year, $25.5 million cap hit for 2025, and he's seen over the last couple of years receivers get tons of money, including Ja'Marr Chase becoming the first wide receiver to surpass $40 million in AAV. Others are getting nearly $30 million per year. And McLaurin is in his final year of his contract, so he is a free agent next year. So he's kind of a lame duck in that regard. Even T. Higgins got a contract of $28.8 million a year. So there is reports that if they don't work something out with him, he's going to hold out going into training camp. What would your advice, I guess, be for Terry McLaurin? Because would you hold out, or would you do what Ja'Marr Chase did and play in a contract year? It worked out well for Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, it worked out well for him. Not worked out well for some others. I don't know. I don't want to tell a man how he should approach this specific situation in terms of, because listen, there would be an appeal to going back. The only appeal would be, the only appealing kind of thing out of this for McLaurin would be, man, we just had a nice little run last year. We could be even better this year. But you could also use that as your leverage, though, too. Like, yeah, you guys, I was a part of what got, how far do you think you can go without me at that wide receiver spot?
Well, we got Debo, so we're covered.
Well, you know, I think that's what the Commanders are going to
say.
Probably look at it like. Debo looks big as hell, by the way. But
big
he also
as in muscular or big as in chunky?
He looks chunky, but he looks like he's moving very well, though, for regardless of whether he's chunky or not.
He always looks chunky in the offseason, and then he trims down training
camp.
He also
had like a big baggy shirt on when he was out there doing his thing. So
he's
trying
to hide the rolls.
Stop it, Hater. I think he should get his money is what I think he should do ultimately, though.
I do, too. He's a really good receiver.
He's been a loyal commander,
is a good
too.
Word.
Yeah.
Because he went through like four different quarterback changes in four different years. He had Sam Howell at quarterback. He had all these bad
And he was putting up numbers, too, despite having all of these different quarterbacks.
Now he's got a guy, Jaden Daniels, that's a good quarterback. You want to stay with him, but I understand why he wants to hold out because he's important to this team. He's important,
give
and you know what's going to happen?
His money.
The Commanders are going to pay him his money. That's what's going to happen.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah, he's in a position to, if he holds out, then that's a bad thing for the Commanders. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Now, today, Netflix's Quarterback was released, and we finally heard some real thoughts from Kirk Cousins about drafting Michael Penix Jr. in the first round of the 2024 draft after signing Cousins to a four-year, $180 million deal. Here is a little excerpt from that show, Quarterback.
Ended up signing with Atlanta and was pretty excited about the chance to get down there and start fresh. And then, you know, was pretty surprised when the NFL draft happened.
With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL draft.
I could have cut this out.
The Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Oh,
wild. That is the first surprise of the NFL draft,
get back
to say the least. And he is going to the place that just made a
bit misled or like
I had to
wasn't
skip.
Expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams are going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself.
Kurt provides us a chance to.
All right, so that's what he said. He said he would have changed his decision if he knew that they were going to draft Michael Penix Jr. in the first round. And now people are saying that the Falcons did him dirty. Do you think they did him dirty?
No, I don't think they did him dirty. Like, Kirk is how old? 36?
Old. Yeah. He said 12 years in the league.
Yeah, well, so did he think he was going to, like, sign to a place like Atlanta and, like, they weren't going to have a backup plan? Like, they had a high pick. They didn't know what the quarterback room was going to look like thereafter. We see how the rest of the NFL thought of it this mm-hmm. year, right? So they felt like probably looking, because, you know, these teams, they're not just looking at the class that they're drafting. They're also looking beyond in terms of quarterbacks. And they looked at it, and they felt probably that Penix, who was coming off of an unbelievable season, was going to be better than what the class was the following year. And so you have the pick. You got to use the pick. And they chose to go that route. I don't know that they did him wrong. I mean, this is kind of...
Unless they explicitly told him we're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, unless they actually said those words.
Which he did not say, so...
This is business, as usual.
Yeah, and I think he's taking it that way, and it's also a good motivation for him. But he was saying that when he asked Minnesota if they would want to give him a longer-term deal, they're like... Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He's so, like, all right, well, you forced my hand.
That is the cost of doing business when you get older.
It is the cost of doing business when you get older. And I don't think Kirk Cousins is a terrible quarterback. I think that he is a good quarterback who throws soul-crushing interceptions at the worst times.
Soul-crushing interceptions, huh?
I mean, it's like fourth quarter, he's driving down, and he throws a pick on the goal line. It's like those type of interceptions that really, really, really hurt fans of teams. Anyway, are you going to watch that show, Quarterback? I like those shows.
Yeah, probably. I'm running out of like TV shows because they're all out of season right now, so yeah, I'm going to have to...
I know. What the heck is up with the FBI? I haven't seen a new FBI episode in like 3 months.
You're not going to see one until we get to like September.
And they canceled Most Wanted, and they canceled FBI International.
Most Wanted?
And International. So it's just FBI now.
I told you, Most Wanted was a little too, it was a little too serial killer for me.
I didn't enjoy
that one at all.
I love Most Wanted.
I don't want to be watching TV shows and like jumping, like...
Because Dylan McDermott is a complete psychopath in that show, and I love it. He just runs around being crazy. All right, here are some of the head coach hot seat rankings right now. You tell me if you agree with it. Number one on the list, Brian Daboll of the New York Giants. Their projection for him, I like how they do this, fired. So they're projecting him to be fired. I do think that if he has a bad year... They could be looking for a new head coach. Last year was a bungle. They have, what, Jackson Dart? He's put all of his eggs in the Jackson Dart basket.
Yes, he did.
So, would you agree that he could be fired this year? He's the number one hot seat coach?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, second up, Chris, I wish he was here. Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins. Prediction... fired.
Like these are the top two right here?
Yeah, I like how they do that. Basically, they're saying in the blurb, this team is not going to be good next year. And this team has a lot of holes next year.
See.
And so Mike McDaniel needs to figure it out or else he's fired. I would agree that he's on the hot seat.
Yeah, it's going to be... it might be a long, rough year. They moved off of a couple good players that they had. On the offensive side, offense and defensive side, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they still got Tua and Tyreek.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, you got Tua and Tyreek. Third on the list, Zach Taylor of the Bengals. Prediction, fired.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that one's happening.
Yeah, I don't think that one's happening either. I mean...
The division, I will say the division is super good.
The AFC North is very good.
It's very good. And, I mean, the Browns are going to be an improved team even on that side. Yeah, man, that might be the toughest division.
It could be. AFC North with Bengals, Ravens, Steelers,
Pittsburgh,
and
Cleveland.
Browns.
Is it just four?
It's just four.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Zach Taylor.
And for that reason, I guess that's probably why he's on the list, right? Because... You got the Steelers. I still think the Bengals are probably the second best team in that division, though.
Could be. I mean, they definitely have the offense for it. Joe Burrow's going to be
healthy.
Yeah,
that's right. Their defense is going to take a hit with my man.
Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson, he's not playing around.
No, he's not, and he shouldn't play around because he's very
they
good.
He just watched the two wide receivers. Oh, you're going to pay them, but you're not going to pay me? Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking note of that. I'm taking note of that owners. Zach Taylor is a victim of his own success because he got them to the Super Bowl. And he got them, I believe, to the AFC Championship in the year before, the year after.
The only man to ever go into Arrowhead.
Burrowhead, you mean?
That's what they were calling it. We haven't seen very much Burrowhead since then, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not. All right, next one, and we'll go quickly. Shane Steichen of the Colts, prediction,
fired.
I think he's fired because of the way he handles this Anthony Richardson situation. He is so bad at dealing with quarterbacks.
Maybe Anthony Richardson does some growing up and takes some big strides. I think that'll be the only thing that can really save his job.
Yep. Next one, Sean McDermott of the Bills. Prediction? Not fired.
Yeah, I don't see that one.
If they don't get deep in the playoffs again.
Who are you going to go get? Who are you bringing in?
Good. Zach Taylor, because he'll be fired by the Bengals.
Okay, I can see that.
That's it for the list of head coaches on the hot seat. But Sean McDermott, he's been there a lot, but he has not won that big game yet. Same could be said. Well, John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl, so never mind. I'm going to stop
Who'd
talking
they lose
about
to?
Them.
Chiefs?
Yes, they did.
Buffalo?
In Buffalo, I believe. No, wait. Was it in Buffalo? Man, my memory is really terrible because I'm Googling right now on this.
No, I think it was both of them that had to go to Buffalo.
No, the Chiefs played the Ravens in the AFC Championship. Did the Ravens beat the Bills?
No, I thought the Ravens lost to the Bills. They did.
Okay.
Right?
This is embarrassing for me.
Dave, didn't the Ravens lose to the Bills in the playoffs?
2024 AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. Chiefs beat the Bills 32-29.
Chiefs beat the Bills. Okay. Anyway. I knew it wasn't the Ravens.
No.
Because the Ravens lost at Buffalo.
Yes. So, anyway, I'm just going to pretend that last minute didn't happen. And we're going to move on. That's it for the NFL news and notes for today. When we get back, we are going to try and play another game. It's not going to be the same game as yesterday, but we're going to try. So give me a call, 833-288-0973, for your chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas here on 97.3 The Fan.